Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jenna Wolf.
We got a big show on this Thursday morning. The Baltimore Ravens have
a
plan.
New dress, Jenna.
It is.
That's great.
I got to tell you, I don't even know when I have new clothes. And he'll be running by, see me peripherally, and say, oh, new dress.
Mm-hmm.
Without even.
It does look very nice.
Thank
Nick,
you very
new
much.
Haircut.
Confirmed.
Same face.
Unfortunately.
Much appreciated on all fronts.
What do the Ravens have a plan for?
The Ravens have a plan for shutting down one Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. Eli Manning has a plan. He's going to start mentoring Daniel Jones. And at least for a day, the Eagles have been grounded. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson said Carson Wentz is fine, but this is a banged-up Eagles team top to bottom, so riddled with injuries, in fact. Coach Peterson canceled padded practice yesterday, opting instead for a walkthrough. The Eagles are trying to keep up with the Cowboys, who have not only started the year 2-0, but Fox Bet now has Dallas as the favorites over Philly to win the NFC East. So let's start there. CeCe, who is the better team right now in that division? Is it the Cowboys or is it the Eagles?
Only because we have two games to examine both these teams. I think that because of the ability, what Dak, two things just very obvious as far as evaluating. How they've protected Dak, the lack of protection on Carson Wentz, all that being one subject, and Dak's ability. How much better can he get or can he maintain this? Like his ability to throw the ball down the field. I'm very impressed with how the coaching staff and Dak have gone to this fourth year that he's going to become a passer. Now, we know he's a good athlete, so if you bring in the dual read threat later on, like what are defenses going to do? We knew they had a problem last year as far as the red zone. Seems like right now, small sample size, they've solved some of those problems. But Kellen Moore, in eight quarters of football, you have to be impressed with him coming out of the league a couple years ago, the relationship him and John Kitna have forged with Dak Prescott to be able to help him go to that next level. To me, that's a decisive advantage over Philadelphia. Carson Wentz, I believe, is a better quarterback, but he's running for his life. We know what Zeke's going to do. We're going to give him three or four games to get back to 100%. But last week, you could put last week's tape in. When he gets into the Hall of Fame, you put his tape in the clips of all the other tape, you would be like, oh, that was his second game back. No, it wouldn't have made too much of a difference. So I think that what they're doing with Dak, as impressive as he's been through the air, it gives them a decisive advantage right now in the passing game, even though Philly, they got more weapons, I believe proven weapons than Dallas, but Dak and how he has adapted to, I am a pocket quarterback when I want to be, and if you take away my running game, I feel like I can beat the best teams with Dak's arm in the receiving core, Nick.
Going into the season, I gave Philadelphia the decisive advantage over Dallas because I thought they had a decisive advantage at coach and at quarterback, coaching staff, if you will, and quarterback. Through 2 weeks, they do not look to have a decisive advantage in the coaching staff because of the things Kellen Moore and John Kitna have done to open up this offense. And through 2 weeks, they do not have an advantage at all at quarterback. Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate. Carson Wentz has played mediocre. He hasn't played poorly, but he hasn't played great. But because it's only been 2 weeks and because the evaluation going into the season was based on the previous 2 years, not just two games, I still give Philadelphia an edge in those two spots, but barely. So who do I think's the better team? Philadelphia. Who do I think's going to win the division? Philadelphia. But right now it's a 55-45 proposition as opposed to before the year when I thought it was closer to 80-20. And the point that Chris makes about Dak continuing to evolve as a passer and Dak being able to not only make his first read but his second or third and deliver the ball on time deep downfield has been one of the most, just behind Lamar Jackson, for the most impressive development for any player this season as far as progression towards wherever they're trying to get to, whatever their football apex is. There is an element, though, when we're looking at these two teams that I have to stop and I ask myself, all right, so they both played Washington, they both beat Washington. The difference in record is Dallas beat the Giants, Philadelphia lost in Atlanta. If those games were flipped, if Philadelphia had gotten a game against the Giants and Dallas had had to go to Atlanta, would it still be 2-0 and 1-1, but the teams reversed?
Right.
I think it might be. And so that's another reason why I don't want to overreact to what we've seen, because the one game difference at Atlanta versus playing the Giants is a substantial one in my
mind. Well, I think the overall injuries. You got one team's canceling practice.
Yeah.
Dallas is getting more players back. You know, so I think that's a major, major difference. Even regardless of who the opposition is, when you got injuries and you can't practice, that's significant.
Well, both of you made your decisions for the most part based on quarterback play, where Dak Prescott is, where Carson Wentz is. At one point do we start getting worried about Carson Wentz, that maybe this is not just shoddy offensive line play that hasn't really protected him, or maybe it's not just him putting himself out there, but maybe this is a trend for this Eagles team this year? Worried about him?
I'm not worried, because I would be overreacting to the Atlanta game. The reason why Carson Wentz wasn't great in the Atlanta game, he wasn't bad. I mean, he was bringing the team back, but the offensive line didn't give him the type of protection. So I'm worried about Carson Wentz getting hit. I'm not worried about Carson Wentz. Is he an elite quarterback? No, he can still make every throw. I'm concerned about some of his weapons being nicked. So the overall injury, that offensive line coming into the season, ranked number one by Pro Football Focus. I haven't seen a dominant offensive line in eight quarters. Will they be able to run the ball? Are they going to be one-dimensional? So, no, I'm not worried about Carson Wentz. I'm more worried about the protection and that offensive line.
Listen, Wentz was running for his life in week two against Atlanta, and Atlanta's not a team known to have a dominant pass rush. Now, they've spent some draft picks to try to add to that pass rush, but aside from 1 year from Vic Beasley, those, whether it's Tack McKinley or Vic Beasley, outside of that 1 year, those picks have not necessarily paid off the way they had hoped. Philadelphia has to fix that, because Carson Wentz, the best plays he was making, he was avoiding contact or while going to the ground making a pass. And so that is a major concern, because he did get nicked in that game. He did have to leave that game briefly and then come back. And that's something you don't want for any quarterback, much less a quarterback coming off two straight season-ending injuries. But I also like to step back and say, what would the narrative be if Nelson Agholor had just held on to what would have been the game-winning bomb thrown by Carson Wentz down the sideline after the Julio Jones play? Carson put that ball on the money, hit Nelson Agholor in his hands, and he just dropped it. That the numbers would look different, and the narrative would be very different in that circumstance. Now, to Chris's point about injuries, DeSean Jackson maybe makes that catch. That was thrown to Agholor instead of DeSean, because DeSean is out of the football game and out the next couple weeks with a groin injury.
Yeah, so my commentary wouldn't change much, because I'm just worried about the protection.
Sure.
If he catches that ball down the sideline, I still give Dallas an advantage, because what they have shown us, Dallas, their offensive line, there have been question marks on it the last couple years. But Travis Frederick coming back, that offensive line has looked great compared to what's going on. So even if Agholor catches that ball, to me, I'm still going to give Dallas an edge because of the inability to consistently protect their quarterback.
Not just DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey is also nicked up. So they do have a lot of problems there on that receiving core for the Eagles. These two teams, the Eagles and Cowboys, don't match up to week seven, which will be a great, great matchup. Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future, or visit www.pacificlife.com. All right, moving on to Jalen Ramsey. He wants out of Jacksonville. Unfortunately for him, he will be playing against the Titans tonight for Jacksonville in Jacksonville. The Jags All-Pro cornerback has requested a trade, but will be active again, with the trade seemingly coming sometime after the game. So, CeCe, which contender should try to acquire Jalen Ramsey?
Well, I don't mean – it doesn't have to be a contender for me. Right now, we only played two games. Everyone's a contender. The Giants, they think we make a quarterback switch. We right back into this. But I think there are certain places that would be better for him. I think the Raiders, John Gruden, they got the cap space. They got a really young team. They could use a corner play. They could also use a star going to Las Vegas. The Tennessee Titans, I do believe Coach Coombs, he was a legendary high school coach, coached at Ohio State. He only coached in Ohio until last year where he took the job in Tennessee. Vrabel, who has experience at Ohio State, went there and got him. He is a great defensive back coach in his hometown there with the Titans. So the Raiders are the Titans, I feel, are the smoothest transitions for him, for a guy that has that type of skill set. Big corner, wants to play a lot of man-to-man, and as we said before, he's from Tennessee and wants to go back there. And anytime, if you can get a big-time star like that in a smaller market like Tennessee, I think that they should look into that.
Particularly when he's listed the Titans previously before the season as a place he'd like to play. Sometimes you worry, a big-time star, would he be happy going to a small market? The size of the market in Jacksonville is not why he's unhappy. And because of his roots in Tennessee, he has already said Nashville would be a place he wants to go.
And he's already proven that he can get national attention no matter
what. No matter what. I mean, he's one of the star players in the league and one of the faces of the league that we have on the defensive side of the ball. One team you mentioned yesterday, before I give a couple others, that I thought really interesting was Philly. Philly obviously is a contender. Philly, that is the place where they need, I would argue, help the most is on the back end of their defense, particularly the corners, because I like Malcolm Jenkins. I understand we're talking about Philly's injuries. They didn't deal with the spate of season-ending injuries. For Philadelphia, with how active Howie Roseman has been, how great he's been at almost manipulating the cap to free up space when they need it, you had mentioned Philly yesterday. That, to me, is a really interesting fit and would be something that if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you see, wait, the Eagles got who? The Eagles got Jalen Ramsey at the deadline, or not even at the deadline, a month into the season. That could be a game changer. I'm going to mention a team no one's attaching them to, but I think they have the space, they have the picks, they have the need. What about the Los Angeles Chargers? Now, maybe they don't want to pay Jalen Ramsey. They're going to have to pay Joey Bosa, two guys, but they have the cap space to do it. They are right now, they know that last year they were this close to being the number one seed in the AFC. Derwin James is going to come back at some point at the end of the season. They already have an extraordinary corner in Casey Hayward, but they're starting a guy who was an undrafted free agent a couple years ago at their other corner spot. If you had Casey Hayward, Jalen Ramsey, when Derwin James comes back, that immediately becomes far and away the best secondary in the NFL.
Well, for one, next year they got to pay Joey Bosa. Casey's already making a bunch of money. Derwin James, you already know you're going to have to pay him. Now, both of those guys being from Florida State, sometimes you think that, oh, well, maybe that would work. Well, maybe that might not work. So I don't know. They haven't been the most contract-friendly to their player. Right. Phillip Rivers doesn't have a contract. So to me, that's a lot of money that a team that is not customary to paying a lot of money, I don't think they would have that kind of money tied up in their secondary.
Just two more teams quickly. Obviously, yesterday we talked a lot about the Chiefs. It's the best player available at the biggest position of need. But I do think the Chiefs would have real cap issues with that. Patrick Mahomes going to become the highest paid player ever a year from now. They paid Tyreek Hill. They paid Frank Clark maybe above market. The Sammy Watkins, they can get off him next year if they want to, but he's playing really well this year. Adding the highest paid corner in NFL history, which is what Jalen's going to become, would be tough. Keep an eye on the Colts, though. The Colts have enormous cap space, the draft capital. They're obviously going to try to win without being a super explosive offense. The Colts are, if I'm Chris Ballard with Indy, I am calling Jacksonville and trying to take their temperature on that.
But he plays his last game tonight for the Jaguars, most likely.
Absolutely.
That would be my guess, yes.
All right, let's move
if
on.
If not, you're going to need about
now.
Eight players to break them up.
Doug Marrone.
All right, just to recap, Eli is out. Daniel Jones is in as starting quarterback for the New York Giants, and his first test will be this Sunday on the road against the Bucs. Who better to learn from than 16-year vet Eli Manning? And get this, the Giants' two-time Super Bowl champ reportedly stayed at the facility after being told he was demoted to help prep the new quarterback. And though Eli is taking his new role as mentor in stride, it hasn't been easy.
Obviously disappointed, not happy about it, but you know, you accept it and make the best of it.
Eli has been nothing but you know, nothing but helpful and you know, welcoming to me, and I think you know, obviously now the roles are you know, different, and you know, there'll be you know, some differences there, but I think largely you know, our relationship and you know, how we communicate will be the same.
Is this the end of Eli Manning, or just another phase?
Who knows? So, you know, and it's, again, I'm not dying, and the season's not over. So there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for, and you know, and so I just gotta, you know, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
So clearly everyone is saying the right thing. Everyone is doing the right thing. I mean, Eli going above and beyond by actually staying late in practice and mentoring Daniel a little bit. But how hard do you think, Nick, this will be for Eli to take on this new role now as mentor when you know what he's been for the last 15, 16 years?
Well, listen, I would imagine it's incredibly difficult, but it's not like this should come as a shock to the system for him. And I would disagree with you a little bit in that Eli going above and beyond. When the Giants draft a quarterback at number 6, and don't ask you to take a pay cut when they easily could have, when you're still making your $22 million this year, when it could have been zero this year. Part of the job this year for Eli was going to be eventually doing this. Now, everyone expected Eli to do it as a gentleman and with grace, as he
so
appears to be. I mean, that is a testament to why Eli Manning, as an individual, forget him as a player, is one of the most respected people in the league. Nobody has a bad word to say about who Eli Manning has been as a Giant in the facility for the organization at any point in his career. I don't know what it feels like as a player to be demoted, but I would imagine in any walk of life, if you see something coming, and Eli had to see this coming at some point, you would hope you've done some mental preparation for when the day does arrive. And so Eli maybe thought that he would be able to stave it off a few more weeks than he did, but he knew at some point this year he was losing his job and he was going to transition from starting quarterback the New York Giants to mentor for the future quarterback the New York Giants.
Did you just say that Eli should have been practicing getting benched, what he was going to do?
No, I said you mentally prepare yourself. Of course. If you're married and your spouse moves out and says, I think we should do a trial separation,
yeah, well,
you should
be... That day when it happens, all the mental prep in the world is going to...
No, of course. But if that happens, then you should be mentally preparing for the divorce papers to be filed. And even when those papers are filed, maybe it's devastating, but you have been mentally preparing.
When you play as well as Eli, and you're a superstar in this league, you're an accomplished player, you don't think someone's going to take your job. When they draft him, it's like, man, I'm getting ready to play. Eli thought just like that. I'm getting ready to play another couple years. So there is no preparation. When I took Anthony Carter's spot and took all his shining, he didn't mentor me. He didn't stay after practice either, Jenna. So you're right. That ain't Eli's job to stay after practice. Nick is wrong in that. That is extra. That's because Eli is a special human being. All around the National Football League, when guys lose their job, we don't hear that soundbite. You know something? He stayed after work. You know something? A lot of times, they storm off. Oh, he left practice today after getting benched. So yesterday, I would say easily, is one of the five worst days in Eli Manning's career. It's gut-wrenching because you come in there, you still have to face the media, and the roles have totally flopped. And your ability. You didn't lose your ability overnight. This guy didn't beat him out. Like, Eli didn't even have a chance this year. If you look at that, what they did in two games, didn't depend on Barkley. What did Eli do to lose his job? And what did Daniel Jones do? The coach said, I had a gut feeling. Yeah, your gut is when you draft a guy in the top 10, your gut is he's going to play this year. So they decided to do after week one or two. It's not a matter, is that right? But what Eli went through yesterday is not a normal day. All right? I've gotten benched and I've gotten divorced and they're not the same.
Well,
they not the same.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe it was an awkward analogy, but the point that I'm making, and I will stand firm on this, is if Eli Manning was not mentally preparing for the day he loses his job, then he's foolish.
Well, I don't know anyone in the league, Nick, and I've been watching these guys get benched. No one was ready for it, even though you draft a guy. All right, when Denny Green brought me into his office and said, I'm getting ready to turn the leadership of this team over to Randy Moss and the Dante Culpepper, as much as I knew that was going to happen, there was nothing to get me ready for those words when it hit me that I had lost all my power.
Well, so maybe the moment, even if you have been ready for it to come or thinking you're ready for it to come, can be a shock to the system. But the quarterback position is obviously different than what happened with you and Anthony Carter, and obviously clearly way different than when they drafted Randy. Because after they drafted Randy, you didn't lose your job. You went on five more great years with the Vikings. When a team drafts a quarterback like you said, in the top 10, you know he's going to play. I'm not saying that wasn't a devastating moment for Eli, that he didn't think I deserved a few more weeks, even right. If this should have happened a couple years ago instead of a couple weeks later.
Let's just do this, though. Mm-hmm. The morning Eli got up when the Patriots were undefeated, mm-hmm. He went on TV. I was on a network. I had one of my colleagues say, this is the greatest football team that's ever been assembled. Best team I've ever seen, and today they mark their day. They go undefeated, and will go down in history. Eli sat in his hotel room and listened to all that and went out there and slayed that dragon. That's the same guy that got benched now. So we have to appropriate some of the things that he's been able to accomplish with, wow, that must have been it's bigger than you can imagine. All right, I don't expect people to understand. I don't expect people to be like, you know something? To Eli should have done this and that. It's a rare, rare opportunity. I can guarantee you guys this. I guarantee you Fox couldn't bring nobody in here for y'all to mentor. Hey, I want y'all to sit on the side and make them better. Why, y'all know y'all sitting over there and you know you're better than them. What's wrong with that?
No, because to me it is not even apples to oranges. It's apples to bowling balls. If to use your analogy, if we did this show for 15 years and 5 years ago we were at the peak, we were the best in the world, and each of the next 5 years, each year after that, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse, and then Fox said, hey,
you guys wouldn't think it's you though.
Okay, well, whether we would or we wouldn't, if Fox then said, hey, there's this young hotshot broadcaster we love, you're going to split reps with him, he's going to be on the show a lot, if I didn't have in my head in that moment, okay, this guy is brought on here to replace me, it doesn't mean the moment that I get the pink slip isn't devastating, but if I haven't prepared for that mentally, I haven't been doing myself a disservice. And as far as a lot of guys do storm out of the building, you're right, but one of the reasons the Giants decided to show, I would say, extra loyalty to Eli and not ask him to take a pay cut and not cut him this offseason is because they had faith that when this day came, yeah, he would act like
they just
Eli
lied
Manning.
To him 2 weeks ago. The owner said, it'd be a great year if Eli, if he played the whole year. Daniel Jones didn't play. So they just kept lying to him. If they said this was a fair competition, when did he win the job? When?
I agree with you on that point. Of course, but if we knew that.
No. And see, so if it's not right, then it's not going to sit with you. If Eli had four games where he stunk it up, he could be like, you know something? I mean, it is time for me to move on. But when they move on to you after 2 weeks, like, it's just not fair. And even though you might not know, when it's not fair, it's not fair. And what Eli did yesterday was above the call. That's the reason why he's got that captain. That's the reason why he's got that Walter Payton. It's not because he just chose to one day, I'm just going to be a nice guy. This is who Eli Manning is. I've been saying it for a long time. And that is part of the reason why the Giants did give him grace, because he's been a class act. And yesterday, when it was the most difficult, I would argue the most difficult day of his career, he showed nothing but class. That's all I'm trying to the magnitude of what he went through yesterday when you lose your job to someone who does not have more ability than you. That's what I'm representing here today.
All right, let's leave it there. Coming up, have the Cowboys taken a stranglehold on the NFC East? That is ahead on First Things First.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
It's the 100th year of the NFL. How excited are you for this season? NFL players have been coached. Blue light from smart devices can affect your sleep. Wear blue blocker glasses in the evening for improved sleep. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust on each side to your ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it tracks how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept that night and gain insights for your best sleep. Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/cadence. Big Sunday night matchup with the Rams. Who's there?
No, we're not doing it. Keep reading, please.
I'm looking for a good one.
Please, keep reading.
Rams traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Odell Beckham is coming off a great performance last week against the Jets. The test becomes a little harder this week as he goes up against a tough Rams defense. And while OBJ is usually the best player on the field any given Sunday, he thinks that nod should and does go to two-time Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald.
He's probably the best player in the league. He's been since he came out and was drafted. He's just been that way. He's, if not the best player in the league, one of the most disruptive players I've ever seen. So, 99 has to be accounted for. The game plan starts right there. Like I said, they have a lot of other stars, a lot of other very, very talented, great players, but it starts with 99. So we have to get that handled. And like I said, we're going to be tested in every position.
Even though 99's off to a bit of a slow start this season, that's what OBJ thinks. Browns offense, Rams defense. Who's got the edge, Bart Scott? I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, man, this is going to be barbecue chicken. I mean, you saw a man down, hand down defense from the Jets pretty much handle these guys. Baker's been getting hit. He's been starting to be getting exploited as well. I think defenses are catching up to what he can do and can't do. The first week, he had a horrible game. I mean, against the Jets, you take away that bomb to Odell. Those numbers were pedestrian. And they just happened to catch the Jets in a really bad defense where the linebacker's responsible for carrying Odell Beckham on the vertical, on the three receiver vertical hook.
With the play fake.
It was number three. Yeah, it was a fire zone, and the responsibility was three receiver hook by a backup to the backup linebacker. You take that away, the Jets are in that game with, their third quarterback. You look at this Cleveland defense, offense, they've been, reading their press clippings because they have too many tools not to have a good offense with that much productivity. Baker Mayfield's been sacked, eight times, hit six times against the Jets? I mean, listen, Odell's trying to kill him with kindness because he knows what's coming. Aaron Donald may have been off to a slow start, but these offensive line about to be barbecue chicken.
Yeah, I would say just an advantage after watching the offensive line, you would have to say that what Wade Phillips is going to do defensively. But what's going to be the adjustment? Is Freddie Kitchens going to get Chubb involved in the line? I'm talking about force feed him to be able to force some man-to-man, because if you can get them playing man-to-man, then you might be able to swing it back in the Browns' favor. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that. This will be a tough matchup. And let's not get carried away. We know the first 4 weeks of the season are an extended preseason. Mm-hmm. That offensive line developed into a good line. All right, they didn't start off in Cleveland being a good line, so let's give them some time, and let's watch the quarterback battle between Jared Goff and Baker. I believe that Baker will be better as they get more time, but if you don't protect, I don't know a quarterback that is good if he's allowed to get hit. So show me the quarterback that is, and I haven't seen it. So Baker has been hit the first couple weeks. All the other quarterbacks that have been hit, their productivity has suffered. So it's really up to that offensive line, Freddie Kitchens, to really be able to make some adjustments, because right now it hadn't been as dependable as they ended last season.
But see, why is that the case? Because now they're confusing Baker with coverage. It wasn't that the Jets had a tremendous pass rush. It's that he couldn't find people open. Where did Landry go? I mean, when you look at what's going to happen now, Njoku went night-night. He got Don Beebe. He's going to be out. So now you look at now you got Eric Weddle. Now you got good safeties that can try and bracket away Odell Beckham, because Landry's never been a deep threat. So where do you go?
Yeah, one thing, too, is let's not forget that Greg Williams was with this personnel. He was the head coach of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Now, if there was a perfect matchup for him, we'd be able to play with the Jets defense, even though they were shorthanded. Williams being out, C.J. Mosley being out. You conceptually understand what they're going to be able to do. So the Jets with Greg Williams holding this team and knowing their pass protections, knowing where the pass protections, I'm not totally surprised. You got to be quiet on this one.
Hold on.
All right, it's Nick's turn.
I a thousand percent agree with that point of view.
This is the Eli Manning thing. Let's see how happy you are.
So the first point you made, though, about for the Browns offense, Nick Chubb was their top of the second-round pick last year. He was surprisingly not even the first running back drafted out of Georgia last year. Sony Michel jumped over him. I think he's exceptional is probably too strong. I think he's a very good running back in this league, and I didn't think they used him enough against the Jets. After Odell caught that 89-yard slant and run to the end zone, they should have never thrown the ball again the whole game. They should have just handed the ball off to Nick Chubb or whomever they wanted and gone home with a victory. I thought that was a mistake by them. However, the flip side to this equation is not just how are the Browns going to deal with Aaron Donald, because that's a terrible matchup for every offensive line, this one in particular, because they've shown weakness. But this is why Aaron Donald, for the second straight year on the NFL top 100 list, was the number one ranked player in the league. But the Rams are going to have to deal with that Cleveland front as well. And Jared Goff has quietly, they're 2-0. Jared Goff's not been very good this year.
Yep.
So they're 230 yards per game, an 83 quarterback rating, 2 touchdowns on the season with his full complement of weapons now. No, Cooper Kupp's not there. Todd Gurley, no. Everyone's out there, and you've been able to get to Jared Goff. They won week 1 in an escape against Carolina when Cam was not playing well. They won week 2 against a Saints team that lost their quarterback early in that football game. So I think it's going to be less about how do the Browns neutralize Aaron Donald, because that's almost impossible. It's going to be more about can the Browns' defensive front match what the Rams' defensive front is going to create as far as mayhem. Because if they can do that, then you do just need a couple big flash plays. You do need Marcus Peters to gamble one time on Odell and for him to go over the top on him.
Have like a safety, Odell. Weddle's going to be over there making sure. They're going to make sure that Landry can't beat you deep. So Odell Beckham's the only one that has the explosive speed. So you bracket him and you harass him the whole time. You got competitive corners that can slow him down with help. The matchup is going to be Myles Garrett versus Whitworth. And I take Whitworth. I think he's savvy enough not to be, you know, abused like Beach. I almost want to go out and file assault charges against Myles Garrett for what he was doing to Beach him. And nobody ever gave him any help. I think this Cleveland Browns team is in trouble. They are way worse than what I thought. And Freddie Kitchens isn't doing a good enough job getting his offense going.
Time now for stories to start your morning. Doug Peterson says Carson Wentz is, quote, fine, but the Eagles are so riddled with injuries that he canceled padded practice yesterday, opting instead for a walkthrough. CC, is this a red flag for Philly?
It's definitely something you need to be concerned about. When you feel like you don't have enough bodies, 53-man roster, 11-man taxi squad practice, and you can't put a team out there because you're afraid guys might get another injury. Yes, it's something we must watch, especially in the first month of the season. The first 4 weeks we considered extended training camp. I know they got a deep roster, but every roster is affected by injuries.
And this is something that's not unprecedented for Philly. They did it for 2 weeks at the end of last season, but doing it this early in the season is a concern. I'll be honest, though, the player whose injury I'm most concerned with is a player who we know is going to play week three, and that's Carson Wentz. I know that he is not officially listed as an injured player, but with the whooping he took on national television on Sunday night, his ability to stay healthy throughout the season and not just be consistently under duress is my biggest concern for them moving forward, more so than DeSean Jackson missing a couple weeks with a groin injury.
All right, sticking in the NFC East, the Cowboys released former first-round defensive end Taco Charlton yesterday. See you surprised by the move?
No, I'm not surprised. He's been a huge disappointment. They needed guys. They got guys suspended. They had guys injured, and he still didn't step up. He had every opportunity in the world, given all those opportunities that were there, and he didn't develop in Dallas. Dallas has done a good job of developing their younger players. That's why their roster is so good, and they have done a good job in the draft. This was not a good draft pick for him. Not going to mention where he went to school either, Nick.
Okay, that's very nice of you. You're being very deferential to the school up north. Listen, Cowboys missed on a first-rounder in 2012 that they traded up for, Mo Claiborne. They then went on a great run. 13, 14, 15, 16. Not only hit on all those guys turned into Pro Bowl-level players. 2017 first-rounder Taco Charlton, their first missed pick in quite some time, high in the draft. I don't think, obviously, his career's not over. Someone will claim him off waivers, which is why I was surprised, as you mentioned, they weren't able to trade even a potential sixth-round pick for him.
Yes.
So someone will claim him, and he'll try to get a second bite at his young NFL career.
All right, moving on. Jalen Ramsey has requested a trade, but will be active for Thursday night football between the Jaguars and the Titans. He'll likely be shipped to a new city after the game. CC, which contender should try to acquire Jalen Ramsey?
I don't know which contender. I think there are a couple places, and Jalen has mentioned them, that being Oakland and then going back home to play with the Tennessee Titans. In the same division, I believe both of them would be a great fit for him. Jalen going to Las Vegas, they would have a star on the defensive side. Also going against Patty Mahomes for the next 10 years. You'd have someone to be able to defend that the air raid that they're going to put on people. So those are two places that could utilize him. Also, those are two places that he requested. So if he went there, you know it'd be easier to sign him to a long-term contract.
He had also said in the past that he really, at some point in his career, would love to be teamed back up with Derwin James, the Chargers. Would they be willing to put that much money in their secondary? It would instantly become Casey Hayward, Derwin James, Jalen Ramsey, one of the most dominant secondaries in recent NFL history. The Chiefs clearly have been tied to him. I'm going to throw one wild card team out there. The Colts, man. They got the picks. They got the cap space. They have a need at one of the corner spots for a team that I think can be a good team. So those are some of the teams to look for if he is traded.
And intel. They've been scouting him for a number of years, not only for the draft, but he's in the division. So I'm sure they have all the information on him. Wouldn't be surprised if they did that with the Titans.
All right, time now for Nick Makes a List. Here's how this works. Nick makes a list. Mm-hmm. Today, we're ranking your way too early NFL MVP candidates.
All right, so 2 weeks in, way too early NFL MVP candidates. We're an eighth of the way through the season. Everyone will be doing this after a quarter of the way through the season.
We want to get ahead of it.
Don't say we.
No, because I give the list, you give your commentary. That's how this thing works. I know it's been like a month since
you came up with this whole segment, and I'm being drugged into it.
No. It was literally your idea, but we don't need to get to it. Number seven. That's true. Check the tape. Number seven, Stephon Gilmore. Now, obviously, a defensive player is not going to win MVP. However, when you're the best player on a defense that is allowing 1.5 points per game this season, you've got to give someone on that defense credit. He also has a pick six. He's only allowed 7 catches all the year and I think a 40 passer rating when targeted. Number seven, the best player on thus far the best defense in the NFL, Stephon Gilmore.
I mean, how can you be wrong in that?
Thank you so much. Number six, yeah. A man who's on.
He was my seventh pick.
Number six, Myles Garrett. Chris, you said he could have a 20-sack season. How does a 40-sack season sound for you? Because that's what he's on pace for. Now, I think he'll trail off a bit. But 5 sacks through 2 games, he's been the best player on an albeit disappointing Browns team. But they haven't been disappointing because of their defense. They were playing a great defensive game in Week 1 until Baker threw 3 fourth-quarter interceptions. Against the Jets, they held him to 3 points. Myles Garrett, 5 sacks through 2 weeks.
I'm putting a line through that one already. You can't play dumb football. Giving penalties, especially on third down, giving teams extra possessions. You can't dump the quarterback. So, no, number 6.
Okay.
You're going to make a list. I'm going to start rejecting people.
Exactly right. That's the idea of the segment. Number 5, spoiler alert, it's all quarterbacks from here on out. Number 5, Russell Wilson. Hustle Bustle Russell Wilson. He's been so spectacular. It's a little nickname his friends have for him. Don't worry about that. Russell Wilson. He's just.
And it's what?
Don't worry about it. I shouldn't have said it. 79% passing, 250 yards a game. 5 touchdowns, no picks, with limited wide receivers. The wide receivers that you were concerned going into the year, maybe the worst receiving core in the NFC.
One of them.
After Doug Baldwin's retirement. They're 2-0. They're, I believe, the best team in that division. Russell Wilson, number 5, the most underrated player in the NFL. Number 4, your guy, everybody's guy, the ageless Tom Brady. He's been just quietly sensational again. A 125 rating, hasn't turned the ball over, nearly 10 yards per pass, 300 yards per game for the team that is Vegas' Super Bowl favorite. Tom Brady, 4th on my list for what would be his 4th league MVP title.
Wow.
Brady mispracticed some practice yesterday with a calf. Watch it. Just watch it.
Okay. A little calf strain, a little potential concern. Number 3, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott could argue he should be higher because of the competition they faced and because of how well Zeke played in game 2. They're going to take a little bit off, but Dak has been sensational. A 142 passer rating. Has made one mistake of note this year. Was a little late to Randall Cobb over the middle early in that game. Ball got tipped and picked off. But 11 yards per pass, 82% completions, which is make-believe it feels. Dak Prescott, number 3 on your way to
Yeah, and you
MVP
could easily
rankings.
Move him to number 1. He's played sensational.
Any of these 3 guys you could argue should be number 1. Number 2, the best quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes. Averaging 400 yards per game, 7 touchdowns, a 135 passer rating, picking up exactly where he left off last season. Everyone said a regression was inevitable. Through 2 weeks, there is no regression. He's actually on pace for more yards and touchdowns than he had last season. And number 1, guy you saw up close and personal last week, in fact, 2 versus 1 are going to face off this Sunday, Lamar Jackson. He did something that had never been done in a regular season game, only been done once in NFL history by Colin Kaepernick in a playoff game. Passed for 250, ran for a 120. He has thrown no picks. He's completing, 72% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 145 rating, and reminded you in Week 2, still a dynamic runner of the football. He's been the best player in the league through 2 weeks this year. He could be the first guy to win most improved and MVP in the same season. Lamar Jackson, number 1 on your way too early MVP rankings.
Yeah, one of the biggest improvements I've seen from just being a game manager, running the ball, not a threat to throw it. But what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, it's been astounding. Greg Roman's done a tremendous job, the offensive coordinator there in Baltimore, and he's only going to get better.
Only 1 strike you had?
I didn't get a chance to prepare for it and everything. He's got 2 defenders on there. Come on, you can't have any defenders on there. There's 0 chance they're going to win, but he had to make it 7. Why? Because he's weird. It could have been easily 5. Only quarterbacks are going to win, but...
Then we get, add,
he's
a
Nick
Wright. Add a little interest. Good, I thought you'd stuff. Like. I got your guys' stuff on Gilmore
good
in there.
Good stuff, Nick.
Try to be equal opportunity.
Coming
got,
up,
he got
did the Giants make a big mistake benching Eli Manning for Daniel Jones next on
Thank
First
you for
First.
Listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.